Grayson, Mark Connor here. Really good to be joining you for today's online church service. I really love your pastors and your church community. Enjoy catching up with the leaders a few weeks ago for the retreat as we talked a little bit about the art of reflection. You know, this is a crazy time. We're all hoping for some easing of restrictions today so that we can spend more time together with family and friends and get life back to a little bit more as normal. Anyway, today I have a message that I believe will be a real encouragement to you. So open your hearts, see what God will say to you today. Here's the message now. You know, us Australians have a lot of little phrases that we use. One of them is no worries, no worries. We tend to use that just kind of without thinking about it. But the truth is, there's often a lot that we do worry about. You know, we can worry about the global pandemic, we can worry about politics, and we can worry about the economy, our finances, our health, our relationships, our job, our studies. There's so much to worry about. And I'm sure you found that the more you worry, the worse you feel, and the worse you feel, the more you worry. And it's kind of this downward spiral. And before we know it, we're in this prison of worry. And although we might say no worries, the truth is we often have a lot of worry that's hanging around our life. One of the things I love about Jesus is Jesus understood the human condition, and he spoke words that were so life-giving into the daily realities of our world. I'm just going to turn to one of his well-known sermons called the Sermon on the Mount. It's in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And part of that sermon, he takes some time to address this real challenge that we have, the challenge of worry. And so I'm going to read Matthew 6, verses 25 through to 34 from the NIV translation. Let's see what Jesus has to say. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They're not sowing or reaping or storing away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink or what will we wear? For the pagans, those who do not know God, run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So we see Jesus takes a fairly long period of time to talk about worry. And basically, he says to those listening to him, stop worrying, stop worrying, don't worry, don't worry. He says it multiple times. And so I want to share a few thoughts with you today on how to stop worrying. Now, I'm going to use the word STOP, S-T-O-P, as an acronym, just for a few suggestions, a few tips, a few insights for breaking free from worry. First of all, the letter S is to specify your worries. Ask yourself today, what are you worrying about? Sometimes worry can be this vague cloud over our head, over our mind. And just by specifying our worries, it brings some clarity to our situation. You know, Jesus was very specific. He says some of you are worried about your next meal, your food. You know, in those days, times were pretty tough. Some of them were worried about their very next meal. Some were worried about their clothing. You know, the winters in Palestine can get very cold. Some of you worried about what you're going to wear. Others were worried about the future. The Roman Empire was in charge. It was a time of political upheaval. And so Jesus is very specific about the kinds of issues that his audience, his congregation, his community were facing. And so what about you today? What are you worrying about? I encourage you to maybe sometime today grab a piece of paper and make a list of all your worries. If you need two pieces or three, it's all right. Just get them out of your head. Write them all down. They're just a lot easier to deal with when you've specified your worries. You know, there was a project a few years ago I read about, and they did a study on the kinds of things that people worry about. And this is what they revealed through this study. 40% of what we worry about is never going to happen. It's never going to happen, 40%. 30% of our worries are in the past. They've already happened. There's nothing you can do about it. 30%. 12% of our worries has to do with our health. And as you know, worry makes our health worse. 10% of our worries are just minor. They're petty. They're not even significant. Only 8% of what the average person worries about is substantial or legitimate. And half of those things, another 4%, are beyond our control. And so this research project revealed that 96% of what we worry about is a waste of time and energy. No wonder Jesus said, don't worry. Many of the things on your list will not be worth worrying about. Ever been shopping and got a trolley with one wheel that didn't work? I mean, how annoying is that? You know, it's squealing and you're squeaking and you're sweating and it's just so draining. Just one wheel not working. You know, one negative emotion not attended to is like that on the inside of you. And worry is one of those things that just drains and saps your energy if you allow it to. And so specify your worries. Make sure you're not putting time and energy into worrying about things that have already happened or are so insignificant, they're not worth your time or your energy. That's letter S, specify your worries. Letter T is to take action on your worries. As you look at your list of worries, you've specified what you're worried about. Now ask yourself, can I do anything about this? Go through each worry and say, can I do anything about it? You know, if you turn your worries into an action, if you turn your problem into a solution, then you begin to crowd out your worries by working on them. In fact, I'd like to suggest to you that worry can be useful if it gets your attention. If you're driving in the car later today and the red fuel light comes on, you know, don't start to worry. Oh no, I'm going to run out of petrol. Oh, I'm going to be late. Oh, I'm going to have to walk. No. Turn your worry into an action. Pull into the petrol station, open the petrol cap, fill your car with petrol, and your worry will disappear. I know this is really deep for Sunday morning. You've got a guest preacher who's telling you to fill up your car with petrol. But you know what? If we did that with every one of our worries, it's amazing how much worry would disappear. You're worrying about something? Turn it into an action. And as you're working on your worry, worry tends to be moving out of your world very, very quickly. Maybe you're a small group leader and you haven't seen someone in your small group for 4 weeks. They haven't been coming to the Zoom gatherings. And so you start to worry, I wonder if Mary's left my group. Maybe she doesn't like me anymore. Maybe she's gone to another group. Maybe she's left the church. You know, we have the most amazing imaginations to think up all these different possibilities. And we often waste a lot of time and energy just imagining stuff that's not even happening. Now, turn your worry into an action. Get on the phone. Hey, Mary. I missed you at the last small group meeting. Oh, you're not feeling well. Oh, you've been away. You know, it's usually something that's nothing to do with us at all, but just by turning that worry into an action, we can eliminate the worry. And so some problems are just a decision waiting to happen. And so I want to encourage you to specify your worries and then look through each one and say, can I do something about it? And if you can turn a worry into an action, then just go ahead and do it. You know, COVID, the pandemic we're in right now, I mean, there's just a lot of things that we can't do, but there's a lot of things that we can do. And so rather than worrying about what's out of our control, make sure that you focus on what you can do, and you'll find that your worry begins to diminish. Letter O in our acronym, so S is specify your worries. Letter T is take action on your worries. And so turn your worries into an action. And then letter O is to offer up a prayer to God. You know, Jesus taught on worry here, and I reckon word got around, and they didn't have podcasts in those days, but I'm sure through word of mouth, Jesus' teaching spread. And many years later, the Apostle Paul, he was writing a letter to some people like you and I living in a city called Philippi, a major city. And in Philippians 4 verses 6 to 7, he says, don't worry. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so Paul gives us another insight, is to offer up a prayer to God. As you're looking through your worries, you're taking action on the things you can do something about, but offer a prayer to God about that item on your list of worries. I like what Eugene Peterson translates this as in the Message Bible. He says this, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Isn't that a beautiful rendition of that teaching from the Apostle Paul? And I love that line, shape your worries into prayers. You start to worry, shape that worry into a prayer and talk to God about your concern. You know, a little over 10 years ago, it was a New Year's Day and Nicole and I were in bed sleeping and we'd seen the New Year in. It was about 5 a.m. and my mobile phone started ringing and I thought, who's calling me this early? And it was a voice I didn't recognize and they said, is your son's name Josiah? I said, yes. They said, you need to get down here. There's been an accident. Well, we threw our clothes on and drove from the eastern suburbs of Melbourne down towards the bay. And our kids had been over at some friends and they'd seen the New Year's Day in and they'd stayed up all night and my son hadn't slept. They decided they would drive to the beach to see the sunrise. Unfortunately, my son hadn't been drinking, but he fell asleep at the wheel. And his brother was in the front seat and his sister in the back and two of their friends. And so he fell asleep at the wheel and they jackknifed with another car at an intersection. And so we got down there and it was like a bomb site. There were ambulances everywhere and it's a miracle anyone lived. We're so grateful that they did. But there were ambulances and they had, my son Josiah had smashed teeth and our second son Ashley, his foot went through the window. He had 27 stitches and a broken vertebrae. Natasha and her friends had various injuries and you know, that New Year's Day, all of our kids and their friends were in the emergency ward of a hospital. It was a horrible start to the new year and just a very difficult time. And as I mentioned, we're just thankful that they all survived and managed to recover from their injuries. You know, in that following year, obviously that was a traumatic experience for us. But I found when we had a family event and the kids were running late, I'd start to worry. I'd start to think about the accident. We'd have a family dinner and they're about half an hour late. And so in my mind, I started to think, oh no, they haven't had an accident. Are they okay? And worry really started to take a hold of me. We'd be up with some friends in Echuca on the river there. They had a river boat and we'd be there having coffee on the boat and the kids would be off on the boat water skiing and I'd be watching the corner waiting for them to come around. And when they'd come around, I'd kind of breathe a little easier. As I found this traumatic experience started to create anxiety and worry in my life quite frequently. And it was around that time that I read this verse in the Message Bible, shape your worries into prayers. And so I started to literally do that. I'd start to worry about the kids and just in my mind through a thought prayer or sometimes just very silently or sometimes out loud, I'd say, God, you know where my kids are today. We dedicated them to you. They're yours. You love them even more than I do. Please watch over them. Please protect them. And so I'd take the worrying thoughts and I'd just talk to God about what I was worrying. You know, it's amazing. I started to pray more and I started to worry less. Imagine if you started to do that this week. Maybe you got some worries about your work and there's some layoffs and just start talking to God about that. God, you're my provider. You gave me these skills. You give me the ability to get wealth. And so I pray that you would protect my job, and if it does finish, help me find that next job that may even be better for me. Talk to God about your concerns, and you'll find you'll worry less and you'll pray a lot more. Just use worry as a trigger to shape your worry into prayer. It's a very powerful little practice, a little ritual that we can do on a daily basis, and it really helps deal with worry in our life. So let us offer up a prayer to God. Letter P in our acronym. So we've got S, specify our worries. T, take action on our worries. O, offer a prayer to God. Letter P is to place your trust in God. I guarantee there'll be some things on your list that are beyond your control. You can't do anything about them. You can't take action on them. You can pray about them, but they're beyond your control. And this is where we place our trust in God. I love Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. And so when there is nothing we can do about our worries, we trust in God. This is what Jesus taught us. He says, look at the birds, you know, they're not worrying about tomorrow. They're trusting that they have a Heavenly Father who's going to provide for them, watch over them. And so the truth is, life is filled with uncertainty. There are many things in life that are beyond our control. But you know what? Your life is not subject to fate, to luck, or to chance. There's something called the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. You might have heard of Romans 8, verse 28, where Paul declares, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It's amazing, an amazing statement of God's sovereignty. Notice it doesn't say God causes all things. He doesn't. There are other forces at work in the world. You make decisions, I make decisions. God doesn't cause all things. I mean, sometimes we think he does. But no, there are other influences, other decision makers in the world. It also doesn't say all things are good. You know, a car accident isn't good. Sickness isn't good. A marriage breakup isn't good. It doesn't say all things are good. It also doesn't say all things have a happy ending. They don't. You know, not every business makes $1 million. Not every kid gets straight A's, you know. Not every relationship lasts forever. It doesn't say all things have a happy ending either. What it does say is that God causes all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, the bitter, the sweet, the difficult, the joyful, to work together for an ultimate good because we love God and are called according to his purpose. I love the story of Joseph. You know, he went through some very painful years after having some dreams early on, some amazing dreams about his future, some prophetic words, some aspirations for his life. And then he spent 13 long years in a prison. Betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery into Egypt. And you know the story. Near the end, he was promoted and became number two next to the Pharaoh, and God used him mightily. And one day he was reunited with his brothers, who threw him in a pit. And it was an emotional moment. And he says this amazing statement. It's in Genesis 50, verse 20. Genesis 50, verse 20. He says, you meant it for evil. Notice he doesn't say, hey, it doesn't matter. Hey, it's all right. Didn't hurt. No, you meant it for evil. It was wrong. It was painful. But God used it for good. God used it for good. You meant it for evil. They were responsible. They made some abusive choices in their treatment of Joseph. You meant it for evil. It was wrong. It was painful. But God used it for good. You know, I'm a bit of an amateur chef. My wife's a very good cook. She throws things together and has amazing meals come out. She can never repeat it because she just makes it up in her head. I tend to follow the recipe book and then I vary it as I get a bit more confident. One of my favorite recipes is a Thai green curry. And it's a family favorite. It's interesting. I was cooking that one day and I just thought there's a couple of ingredients in there you wouldn't want by themselves. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want a glass of fish sauce, you know, just on the side. Maybe some of you would, but yeah, a glass of fish sauce, nah. A teaspoon of curry powder or curry flakes or chili flakes, you know, you might, but no, I'm not going to do that. Some of those ingredients by themselves are intense and unpleasant. But isn't it amazing when you mix it all together how this amazing flavor emerges? I think life is a bit like that. If we had time today to go around and chat and say, have you had anything painful happen in your life? It'd be a long meeting. We've all had some unpleasant moments, some experiences we'd like to not repeat. But isn't it incredible how God can take all of the experiences of our life and make something beautiful of them? You know, years ago, I was doing a course on theology as part of my studies, and I had a great lecturer named Graham Cole, and he was talking about different ways to view the universe, and he used a musical example, which I really like because I love music. He said there's three different ways to view the world. The first way is through the metaphor of a classical orchestra. If you like classical music, you know, in a classical orchestra, all the music's been pre-written by the composer. Been written hundreds of years ago. And so the key signature, the phrasing, the volume, all the details, all the notes, they're already there. And as an instrumentalist in a classical orchestra, you have already been given a script for which you're to play. And so in a sense, there's no freedom. You've already been given what's determined for you as far as your role. You know, some people feel the world is a bit like this. You know, there's no choice, there's no free will. Everything that's going to happen is going to happen anyway. You know, you probably heard someone say, well, it happened, so it must have been God's will. It's actually called determinism, this view that everything's been pre-programmed, pre-scripted, and we're just carrying out a role that's already been determined for us. That's one view of the world. Some people react to that and go way over here and they see the world as a jam session. You know, if you're a muso, you know, a jam session is where you get your instrument and there's no music, there's no plan, no one's in charge, there's no script, it's just make a joyful noise. And so you play your guitar, play your drums, play the piano, play the sax, it's just a cacophony of sound. And if it feels good, just go ahead and play it. And some people view the world that way. It's called existentialism. There's no plan, there's no purpose, just make your own meaning. And if it feels good, just go ahead and do it. That's another view of the world. In between classical music and a jam session, there's a third genre of music called jazz. Anyone out there like jazz? You know, jazz is a unique style of music because there's something called freedom and improvisation and choice. And one instrumentalist will play something and then another one will respond. And so there's this kind of counterpoint and interplay. Sometimes there's discord and dissonance in the music. But underneath all this freedom and improvisation, there's this chord sequence. There's this rhythm that's undergirding it all. The music's going somewhere, kind of holding it all together. I think the world's a lot more like a jazz band than a classical orchestra or a jam session. You have freedom, I have freedom. We make choices, we improvise. Sometimes there's dissonance and discord in our life. But underneath it all, there's something called provenance. That's this third view, provenance. Your story is part of a much bigger story. It's God's story, it's history. And God's taking everything that's happening in the world, everything that's happening in our life, and the music, the story is moving forward. It's going somewhere. We may not understand it now, but God does have a plan. And so this is a God that we can trust. Doesn't help us answer why when it comes to the area of suffering. You know, Job never really got an answer to why all that bad stuff happened in his life, but he came to a point where he trusted the providence of this almighty God who he encountered. And I still have a lot of questions. I don't know why that car accident happened. I don't know why certain things take place, but somehow I believe that in the end, God will bring something good out of it all. And so as we think about the area of worry, we specify our worries. Come on, get it out of your head. Get it on a piece of paper so it's specific and clear. We take action on our worries. You know, some issues are just a decision waiting to happen. Just do something about it. Offer up a prayer to God. Learn to shape those worrying thoughts into words of prayer. Talk to God about your concerns. He's interested in your life. He's a father. He's a mother. He's a parent. He's a shepherd. He's a God who cares for us. And so bring your request to God. And then finally, put your trust in God. Life is uncertain. We're not going to eliminate the uncertainty. You know, right now we're in this incredible time of disruption. And the life of faith is a bit like that. There's periods of orientation where life's going really well. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. And leads me beside still waters. That's times of orientation. And then we have seasons of disorientation. I'm now in the valley of the shadow of death and there's enemies around my table and it's God, where are you and what's going on? And eventually there's a reorientation where in Psalm 23, David says, now surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. And that's the life of faith, orientation, disorientation, reorientation. And so right now, globally, we're in a period of major disorientation, disruption. And you know, we're not going to go back to the way things were. We're going forward to a new reality. And so during this time of uncertainty, don't seek to eliminate the uncertainty. Seek to get clarity around what's important to you, what has value, what has meaning. You know, crisis can be both danger and opportunity. And so we see the danger, but what are the opportunities? You know, there was a survey done of people in Britain and, you know, 91% of those in the survey said they didn't want to go back to the way life was. They wanted things to be different. And so that's a good question for you to be thinking about. Well, are you just going to rewind and play and go back to the way things were? Or what values are you going to carry forward? What's important that you're going to protect? And what things are you going to let go that really, really don't matter? And so in this time of disorientation, it's a time to open our hearts to the new thing. Isaiah says, behold, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. Don't look to the past, but it's going to spring up really, really soon. And so we look for that new thing. And this is where we place our trust in God. And so as we wrap up today's message, simple message, no worries. There are two things not worth worrying about. Number one, things you can do something about. If you can do something about it, don't worry about it. Just take action, make a decision, make a phone call. And then secondly, don't worry about things you can't do something about. Offer a prayer and put your trust in God. In other words, don't worry about anything, because worry is generally a waste of time and energy. And if you're not able to apply this principle, sometimes we do get stuck. It's okay to ask for help. You know, if you find anxiety and worries just hanging in your world, causing a lot of disruption and noise around the table of your life, then get some help. Talk to a counselor, talk to a pastor, talk to a safe person and get some assistance in this area so that you don't end up in a prison of worry and anxiety for a long period of time. And so why break free from worry? Well, as we have already covered, worry doesn't help us unless it spurs us to action. Secondly, worry takes away our joy. Have you found that? Have you ever tried to worry and be joyful simultaneously? Come on, just do it with me right now. One, two, three, we're gonna worry and be joyful. Ready? One, two, three. It's impossible. You're either worrying and joy's out the window, or you're joyful and worry's out the window. And so one of the reasons we want to break free from worry is it robs us of our joy. And we all know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And finally, worry gets us focused on our own needs. And, you know, Jesus did give us another tip in breaking free from worry. He says, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Verse 33, but instead of worrying, seek first God's kingdom. Get busy being a blessing to other people. Get busy serving, reaching out, helping, sharing, making a difference, being a blessing. Imagine if all of us could be free from worry. And all that time and energy we spend worrying, we're free from worry. We go into this week ready to be a blessing to the people we interact with on Zoom or FaceTime or the internet or neighbors, even with your face mask, although we're socially distanced. I don't actually like that word. Although we are having to physically be distant, we don't have to be relationally or socially distant. And so we're connecting with our neighbors and even the person at the shop up the road. We go out from this weekend and we be a blessing wherever we go. What a difference that can make. And so I want to pray for you today as we finish off our message. And I hope today's message has been a help for everyone listening. But I kind of feel there's a few of you that this is just what you needed to hear today. And so I want to pray for you right now. Let's do that. Dear God, thank you for your love for us. Jesus, thank you that you're so in touch and relevant to our needs on a daily basis. And so I pray for all of us today that we would break free from worry. Lord, I pray you'd give us the courage to make decisions where there's some things that we can do about our worries. And in those things beyond our control, help us to trust you, to trust in your providence. We don't always know why, but we can trust that you are at work. And teach us this simple little practice of shaping our worries into prayers. And even this week, worry's going to come. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but we can stop them from making a nest in our hair. And so worrying thoughts are going to come, but help us to shape those worrying thoughts into a prayer and bring our concerns to you. And so I pray today for those particularly struggling with worry that you would help them to apply this message to their life and you would free them from worry and you'd fill us with your joy. In Jesus' wonderful name, everyone said amen. If you're by yourself, just yell out, no worries. If you're with family and friends, you can touch your neighbor and say, no worries. And so may that not just be an Aussie cliche, no worries, mate, but may it be a declaration over our life, no worries, that we live free from worry and are ready to be a blessing to those around about us. Well, it's been a real joy to be a part of your online church service. And so I pray a blessing on you and the leadership team there and your church community. And I hope to catch up in person sometime not too far away. God bless you. Have a great rest of the weekend. Stay well and stay safe.